Welcome to the Seth Gruber Show today. Riley Gaines. Riley Gaines on the show. You understand? Okay? The nightmare of every chauvinistic, sexually deluded man who wants to compete against women in sports. Okay? The woman that God has providentially raised up in the last 2 years to be the face of the fight for women's sports. Meaning, if you have male genitals, or you used to have them and you chopped them off, you don't get to compete against women. I can't believe that this is like now a conservative issue. This is absolutely ridiculous. Riley Gaines, the famous swimmer who swam against Will Thomas, who calls himself Leah, who I thought it was a national like joke. I thought this guy actually knew he was a guy and was just doing this to expose the lunacy of transgenderism, but I guess not. Riley Gaines, the voice for women. We're going to talk about her journey, her fight, her struggle, what God taught her, and how God's using her now in the fight against gender ideology, transgenderism, and the obliteration of female spaces and female sports. Buckle up. Let's get into it. You are in for a treat. Welcome to the Seth Gruber Show. Riley, welcome to the Seth Gruber Show. So, everyone knows your name. If they don't, they're sleeping under a rock. What have you been up to besides beating semi-moderate, sexually deluded men who want to get rid of Title IX? What else have you been up to? We've been speaking at some of the same conferences. We're so proud of you. You've been raising holy hell, as we like to say here. Give us an update about your fight.
Man, that's the best way I've heard it described, to be honest with you. I love that. And that's what I'm going to start saying when people say, oh, what do you do? I'm going to go back, listen to what you just said, and I'm going to say it the exact same way. But man, really, what a crazy past 2 years or so, year and a half, whatever it's been. What a mind-blowing position to have to be in. Of course, never thought it would be me in this position. Nevertheless, anyone, I never thought it would be necessary to say something as basic and be applauded for it, for the most part, as basic as men and women are different. that's my whole shtick. But man, this past 2 years, it's been crazy. We have seen a lot of movement, a lot of traction, a lot of momentum, comparatively to 2-3 years ago. Now 24 states have enacted some sort of fairness in women's sports bill, which has been a huge push of mine, going to these different states and testifying, helping legislators write these bills, teaching them how to talk about these topics. Was just in Alaska, had a pretty big win in Mississippi this past week. So lots of that kind of thing. Lots of course, spreading awareness as this, and when I say this, I mean exactly what you said. These mentally deluded men, entering into women's sports and women's spaces, demolishing women, injuring women a lot of times, ridding them of their privacy in areas of undressing, continuing to shed light on this as it continues to happen, unfortunately, around the country.
Riley, I call them autogenophilic chauvinists.
Absolutely.
Which is a great phrase that we should be using more often. Autogenophilic chauvinists. Riley, you sound like a big lib from like the year 2000.
I know.
And isn't that the crazy thing? It's like, and I know you're a conservative, but like, you know, here we are saying men shouldn't compete against women in sports and they shouldn't be able to undress and watch other women undress. It's like, and by the way, I don't call him Leah. I call him Will. Leah is a girl's name and I will not refer to him by a girl's name. You don't get to have a girl's name, Will. Your name is Will. And I've heard the whole argument, like, well, I won't call he, she, but you know, I'll be respectful. No, I'm not going to be respectful of your delusion. That's actually granting a premise that you get to have a girl's name because you think you're a girl, but you don't get to have a girl's name because you're not a girl. For those tuning in right now, if you don't know who Riley Gaines is, we're going to talk about her story. And I encourage people to listen to your appearance on Joe Rogan recently. What an awesome opportunity to get the truth out there and to mobilize people and awaken them for this fight. But I want you to take us back, and you've said it, you've told your story 1,000 times, Riley, but I want you to take us back to when you realized, oh my gosh, what is happening to America? What is happening to my sport? Can you take us back?
Absolutely. So of course I was a swimmer in college. I swam my whole life. So started swimming when I was 4, graduated when I was 22. So really dedicated, for perspective here, 18 years of my short 21-year-old life, 22-year-old life at the time to swimming, to being the best that I could be, right? Which is the time, the hours, the sacrifices, the dedication that you have to make to compete and ultimately be successful at the highest level. And so, you know, flash forward here, I went to University of Kentucky, which I loved. I really could not have chosen a better place for myself. But my senior year, we're gearing up, ready to go for our national championships. I'm ranked 3rd in the nation, which, you know, behind the girl in 2nd, who I knew very well, because like in most sports, you know, your top tier athletes know of each other, regardless of where you compete, because you've grown up competing against each other. So I knew the girl in 2nd very well, trailing her by a few 100ths of a second.
Nice.
But the swimmer who was leading the nation by body lengths, might I add, was a swimmer that I had never heard of before, a name I had never seen before. And this is the first time I saw and read the name Leah Thomas. But for all I knew at the time, Seth, keep in mind I hadn't seen a photo of this person or else things probably would have been a little more clear. But for all I knew at the time,
you thought it was just some Promethean woman.
I'm like, this is a senior from University of Pennsylvania, which is not a school that historically produces fast swimmers, you know, leading the nation by body lengths and events ranging from the 100 freestyle, which is of course a sprint, and all the freestyle events in between through the mile, which is of course long distance. And for those of you who might not necessarily understand swimming, think about that last piece in terms of your Olympic runners. That's like saying your best 200 meter runner is your best marathon runner.
Yeah, that's right.
It doesn't happen. They're two totally different systems, but that's what we were saying in this person. So I'm scratching my head. I'm talking to my coaches and my teammates and my family, you know, knowing this person is a threat to me winning a national title. Who is this? Hmm. We had no idea. And we continued to stay in the dark until an article was released disclosing that Leah Thomas is, in fact, Will Thomas, and swam 3 years on the men's team at University of Pennsylvania before deciding to switch to the women's team, where, of course, at best, the year before, he was mediocre. That's generous. Yeah. Ranking 462nd in the nation when competing against the men.
Wait, to four, now, 462nd.
To now dominating the entire nation of women. But ultimately, I read this, and of course I was shocked. Of course I was. We all were. But really upon reading it, it was like this sigh of relief. Like, oh, well, duh, this makes sense. This is a man.
It's a dude.
And I thought the NCAA would see it that way, given the fact that this, you know, nothing opinionated even about it. The fact that this was not a lateral movement. Wow. But lo and behold, the NCAA did not see it that way. They saw nothing wrong with this. And so about 3 weeks
ago. Remind us, Riley, this was 2021?
22. And for, again, for some context here, my college experience was nothing short of crazy anyways, in the way that we dealt with COVID. So in 2020, March of 2020, when COVID really hit, we were supposed to leave for our national championships in 3 days, and COVID canceled all of it. So we were already robbed of a national championships, a chance to shine and excel and achieve what, you know, we worked our whole lives to achieve. We were robbed in that way because of COVID. Junior year, we were dealing with the mask and the mandatory, let that be in air quotes, because I understood it's actually not mandatory. Mandatory yeah. vaccines, blah, 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 blah. Senior year, we're being robbed again by this man. Wow. So of course, you know the story. He was able to compete. Not only compete, he was able to change in our locker room. I watched as he swam to a national title in the 500, beating out Olympians. Again, American record holders.
Did you compete against him multiple times?
I only had to compete against him this one meet. Kentucky never swam against UPenn except for national championships.
Wow. So it was the national championship.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, the pinnacle of collegiate sports, the national championships. The NCAA is faster comparatively than the Olympics because of how many fast swimmers, how much depth that the United States has. So this is the pinnacle of collegiate swimming, the fastest meet in the world. Hmm. And this man was allowed to participate in the women's category. Again, winning national titles.
Take us to that day when you got on the platform. the board and look to your left or right. Can you like tell us what that was like? Because honestly, I don't know if I would have been able to restrain myself. Also, actually, as an aside, shame on every father in that audience who watched that unfold.
Come on.
Anyways, but take us to that day.
No, you're exactly right. You asked me how I felt. At first, kind of, I mean, admittedly, and I'm ashamed for feeling this now, like it was almost like this sense of intriguement. It felt like we were involved in this circus. So you couldn't help but look, you couldn't help but laugh, you couldn't help but point and say, you know, in whispers to your friends or your teammates next to you, hey, you know, look, he's over there. But I didn't really get the full grasp, understanding the severity of this until I did have to race him, right? I look over, 6'4", towering over me at all of 5'5", 5'6". His feet are so big. His feet are so big, they take up the entire block, right? This man's so lanky. His arms are so long. He's wearing a women's swimsuit with a bulge. I'm like, what is this? This is crazy. I look over to my left, and it was just this feeling of going into the race with my hands tied behind my back. I knew the outcome, right? Despite how hard I worked, despite how much time and effort you put into it, I knew the outcome. But regardless,
what length was that? What race was that?
The 200 free, which is okay. 8 laps. So we get on the blocks, we dive off, we swim all 8 laps. I touch the wall at the end, and Seth, I look up at the scoreboard as soon as I finish. And before even looking at my name, I was more curious how he did, you know? And I saw, and then I look at my name, and I'm looking back and forth and back and forth. And we had tied, meaning we had gone the exact same time down to the 100th of a second, which first and foremost is incredibly embarrassing for a 6'4" man to lose or to be tied, I guess, to a woman who is a whole foot shorter than him. But also it's rare, you know, when you're racing for a minute and 40 seconds and not even 1/100th separates you.
Yeah,
That's what we call divine intervention. But anyways, I get out of the water.
I was about to say, that's providence right there.
God was
preparing you for what you're doing now.
He does. But really what thrusted me into this position is I get out of the water, go behind the awards podium, where typically, you know, you're marched out, you're named an All-American, you're given your little $5 production trophy, and we go back there. And the official looks at both Thomas and me, again, him towering over me, and he says, great job, you two, but you tied. And we only have one trophy, so we're going to give the trophy to Leah. Sorry, Riley, you don't get one. In that moment, I mean, my heart rate was still high, my adrenaline was still pumping, and so the first thing that I thought ended up being the first thing that I said, and the first thought that I had was, isn't this everything that Title IX was passed to prevent from happening? What do you mean? You're going to give the trophy to the man and the women's 200 free. And I will tell you what, Seth, I actually appreciate his honesty. I really do. And I could tell he didn't even believe what he was about to say, this official. He looked at me with sadness. His eyes looked sad. His voice sounded somber. He said, Riley, I am so sorry, but we have been advised as an organization that when photos are being taken, it's crucial that Leah holds the trophy. You can pose with this one, but you have to give yours back. Leah takes the trophy.
We've all seen the photo.
We've all seen
the photo of him towering over you, holding the trophy while you're just standing there.
Right. So that, on top of the locker room, on top of the silencing we face from our universities.
Talk about that. Aren't we seeing with a lot of these universities not just a sort of apathetic acceptance of this radical, perverted gender theory? But this is now being inculcated as mandated training so that you're not a transphobe. Can you talk to that?
Yes. And this is honestly where I had my eyes open the most. And the scariest, the most chilling part to me is really how they stifled our speech, how they scared us into submission. Me specifically, I had to go to training, media sensitivity training, where I had to learn how to use she, her pronouns. Seth, as a 21-year-old senior in college, they brought in an outside professional, whatever that means, who sat me down and we had to go through these interview questions. And if I didn't answer these fake interview questions to their standard, I had to re-go through the training. I was told, you'll never get a job if you speak out about this. You know, your employer is going to look you up, Riley, and they're going to see that you're a transphobe. And you don't want to, you know, your employer to see that, do you? You're never going to get into grad school. You're going to lose your friends. You're going to lose your scholarship and your playing time. They told me specifically, Riley, you signed a scholarship. And when you signed that scholarship, you know, you gave away your rights to speak in your own personal capacity. Remember who you represent, because it's us. Whose name is across your chest and across your cap? It's not your own. It's ours. And understand, we have already taken your stance for you. Thomas's teammates, for example, 16 of these girls signed on to an email at the beginning of the season expressing their discomfort in the locker room. And the university responded back with, if you feel, and I swear I have a screenshot of the response. They said, if you feel uncomfortable seeing male genitalia, here are some counseling resources that you should seek in an attempt to re-educate yourselves. They even went as far to tell his teammates that if they did speak out and any harm whatsoever were to come towards his way, whether it's physical, emotional, through social media, self-inflicted for that matter, they told these girls, then you are solely responsible. And that would make you responsible for a potential death. And that would make you a murderer. Jeez. And you don't want to be a murderer, do you?
Wow.
No, so I suggest you be kind, and I suggest you be inclusive.
Wow. And that's what they say, right, Riley? That's how they've been silencing not just some of your colleagues and fellow teammates and opponents in swimming, but it's also how they silence parents who whose child claims to have gender delusion or be the other gender. Would you rather have an alive son or a dead daughter? This is the primary argument in the entire transgender movement to silence opponents and parents who oppose surgical intervention and social affirmation. They say, if you don't affirm their gender delusion, they will kill themselves. The sick, demonic, twisted irony of that phrase and that attack from these autogenophilic chauvinists is that actually the genesis of transgenderism is actually based on a suicide of a person who was forced to try to transition. You can't make this stuff up. We don't have time to go into the whole thing, but John Money and the David Reimer twins, and he forced them to perform sexual acts on one another. He advised his parents to cut off his genitals completely and raise him as a girl named Brenda. He eventually found out the truth at 15 years old. He forced it out of his father. He reversed the damage done to his body. He married a young woman. He adopted some kids, and then he killed himself. He killed himself because of the sexual trauma done to him by the pioneer of transgenderism. So the irony, it's like how you felt on that platform. Like, is this the Twilight Zone? Am I being tricked here? Is this the real world? And they want to take us back to a time when women did not have rights. And that's what makes America unique, right? Is that women used to be able to be beat by their husbands with no legal recourse. They were treated as the property of their husbands. Children didn't have rights. They were treated as the property of their parents. They're actually not taking us into a progressive future, Riley, right? They want to take us back. Can you talk about that?
Oh my gosh, of course. And it's something that it's so obvious once you see it, once you lay it out, just like you just did. In the name of progress, they are taking us back in time. Make no mistake, this is not progressive. This is not moving us in the positive forward direction. This is taking us back, at least in the space of sports here, at least 52 years. Title IX was implemented in 1972. This is taking us back half a century. You look at what they're doing in USA Boxing, for example, right? Actually celebrating men who get into the ring with women with the intention, the objective to punch them in the face, wherever, to knock them out, to knock them unconscious. And we're calling that progress under the guise of, weirdly enough, feminism. This is crazy. We're not only allowing this, like I said, we're celebrating it. We're glorifying these men. We're calling them champions for doing this. They're being awarded prize money and championship belts and sponsorships and all kinds of crazy stuff. Again, for punching women with the objective and the intention of knocking them unconscious. And I honestly think it's going to take a woman, in the case of boxing, getting fatally injured. I mean, dying. I think that's what it's going to take. And even then, maybe these people don't open up their eyes. I don't know. To your point, what I think they want to do here is just blur the lines of truth entirely. That's the premise of this, is to take away objective truth. They don't want black or white anymore. There's no more right or wrong, good or bad. This is truly, truly a battle of moral versus evil. And look, that's not me saying that people who identify as trans are evil. No, maybe they think they're doing the right thing. But what is evil is deceit. That's evil. Manipulation is evil. Lying and affirming delusions is evil. And who moves through deceit? Who moves through lies and who moves in darkness? And it's God's opposition. So that's how I feel.
Yep. This is well said. This is fundamentally religious. It's fundamentally spiritual. And this is has always been a spiritual battle, actually. And I think sometimes it takes the enemy overplaying his hand and evil being so overtly overplayed and in your face for people to start waking up and going, maybe there's a deeper spiritual unseen battle in the unseen realm, because I don't know how to make sense of this. You might remember, Riley, the speech that people believe got Tucker fired. It was the night before he got fired from Fox, and he spoke at Heritage Foundation fundraiser. And he literally said, I don't know how to make sense of what's happening in America anymore in conventional political terms. When the Department of Energy comes out and says, you know the way you can help the economy, the country? Get an abortion. And Tucker said, that's like an Aztec principle, actually. And I don't know how to make sense of much of our political and cultural warfare and conflict in America anymore, absent a theological lens. It only makes sense through the realm of spiritual warfare, of eternal principles, of theological truths. And I think that's what your fight is starting to reveal to people as well. A lot of this is fundamentally spiritual in nature, because it's so wicked and evil that I can't merely attribute it to man. There has to be demonic powers that are influencing human beings to do evil things. And transgenderism is fundamentally pedophilic. If you take the premises of the left, which says that any ideology or country or institution that was started in racism and bigotry is irredeemable, 1619 Project, BLM, summer of 2020, we got to burn it all down because it's fundamentally irredeemable. Very well, then the genesis of transgenderism is based on pedophilia, which means that all of transgenderism is pedophilic in nature and there's no redeeming it. The whole thing has to be torn down and replaced. And unfortunately, providentially, God's raised you up to kind of be the forefront at the front of this fight. You now are taking your fight to a next level, Riley. Can you talk about that? This is super exciting. In fact, it might be the only way to win. Can you talk about what you're doing now? We'd like to thank our sponsor of the Seth Gruber Show, Every Life, Every Life Diaper. Come on, guys, this is just laughably easy. I couldn't have thought of like an easier no-brainer of a sponsor to have on this show. If you have babies, if you have kids who have babies, if you have cousins who have babies, if you support your pregnancy resource center and they need diapers, or your nursery at your church, if you listen to this, you probably go to church. Go to your church. Tell them everylife.com. Promo code Seth10, Seth10 to get 10% off. How is it that this is the only baby brand diaper company in America, the only major one, that doesn't support the abortion industry? All eight of the major baby brands financially or rhetorically support the abortion industry. So they're subsidizing and funding the slaughter of their clientele base. Because if those babies aren't born, then you can't sell them diapers. This is La La Land stuff, okay? Go to everylife.com. This is how we defund the culture of death. You understand? To rebuild a culture of life, you got to defund the culture of death. Everylife.com, promo code Seth10, Seth10 for 10% off your first order. Send that to your pregnancy center, your church, those that you love who are having babies. Tell them to get their diapers there. If you subscribe and you do the subscription, you save more money. Everylife.com. Thank you, Every Life, for sponsoring the Seth Gruber Show.
Yes, which it is very exciting. For so long, right? Like, it was very clear to me what the NCAA did in terms of violating. We've mentioned Title IX several times, right? Title IX is the federal civil rights law that prevents discrimination on the basis of sex. It was obvious to me that what the NCAA did explicitly violated this federal law. And so I thought to myself, someone should sue. You know, this is, I would imagine, a winnable case. No, I'm not a lawyer. No, I'm not an attorney. And then it was just, as you mentioned, it was God tapping on my shoulder and he's like, hey, it's you. And I'm like, me, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't even know. I know we have three branches of government. I don't know what they do. I have never known what they do. I don't even think they know what they do, to be honest with you. I'm like, me? I don't know. But it really has been, we've gotten now 15 other athletes who have been adversely impacted by the hands of the NCAA, signed on to this lawsuit, and we're suing. Yeah, so that's what's going on. The NCAA very seldom loses, of course. They have deep pockets, so they can afford, you know, whoever they want. But this is, as I said, there's not a lot of gray area here. What they did was illegal. So looking forward to that. What we're hoping for out of this lawsuit is, of course, accountability, responsibility, and for the NCAA to ultimately reverse its policies that allow men into our locker rooms, onto our courts, onto our fields, into our pools. That's what we're looking for. Their most basic duty, the NCAA, is to protect the safety, the opportunities, and the privacy of not just women, of both sexes in sports. And they are failing on every account, and they continue to.
Wow. It's shocking that this is happening in real time. And I hope it's a wake up call for people. What have you learned through this last couple of years? Like, what has God taught you? What have you learned? Has your view of human nature changed?
Definitely.
How you engage with people around you and your political and cultural opponents? Like what's God done in your heart, and what have you feel like you've learned in this season?
Well, I've certainly been eye opened in a plethora of different ways. Spiritually, of course, just understanding how God works, how he moves, how he provides me with wisdom, with strength, with protection, with direction and guidance. Of course, I feel and see all of those things. But also just as clearly, I see how Satan works and how he moves. In terms of, you know, from a worldly perspective, what I've learned just how powerful language is. That's been a big eye opener for me. You know, I thought to myself before, I'm a biological woman, Thomas is a biological man. And it hit me one day. I'm like, you know, I had to take lots of upper level math courses in college. And I'm like, if this was an algebra equation, wouldn't that word biological just cancel out? Why are we saying that? That's so redundant and silly. And it hit me. It's like, oh my gosh, we're playing their game, right? Yeah. When we add that prefix of biological, it's as if we are subconsciously admitting that there's an unbiological alternative to being a man or a woman or a male or a female or a girl or a boy, and there's not. God created the only distinction we will ever need when he created man and woman, perfect in his image. Even this verbiage of gender-affirming care, right? It sounds harmless. It sounds positive, actually, is how it sounds. But think about it. Think about the message that is sending, because whether it's a minor or an adult who is deciding to go through with this gender-affirming care, think about that, because you are telling them, by using this verbiage, you are basically telling them that they are correct to feel as if they are born in the wrong body, which is a terrible message to send to anyone. We should be telling them, again, that they're perfect the way God created them. Sex reassignment surgery? We are admitting when we say that you can reassign. These things matter, and you cannot, no amount of hormones or surgery. And I will say very briefly, the last thing, or another thing that I've learned and been very eye open to, is that Republicans can be our own worst enemies. That has been some of the most, I didn't understand how many strings were pulled before all this. I thought if you had an R by your name, you represented conservative Christian values. That is not the case. So that has been something that is incredibly disheartening. Being someone who's, you know, 23 years old, relatively young, Gen Z, and just really understanding the direction that our country is on by the hands and feet of our own leaders, even people who claim to be on our side, it's disheartening. It's chilling. But from a worldly perspective, again, we already know the outcome of all this because the Bible tells us.
You think of Asa Hutchinson, who was the governor of Arkansas until 2023. And he sort of represents what you're talking about. I mean, so does Mitt Romney and many, many others. But he vetoed a bill that would have banned parents from allowing, enabling, supporting, taking their minors to get quote-unquote gender-affirming healthcare, which is chemical or surgical castrations, chemical or surgical castrations. And the Republican conservative leader, Asa Hutchinson, governor of Arkansas, vetoed that bill. And he said, I thought we were Reagan Republicans. I thought we wanted less government. So we're going to allow parents to sexually mutilate and castrate their children. It's like, so to your point, but I love what you said about the power and importance of language. And I get a lot of heat because I relate a lot of things to eugenics and Nazism, because when you study the history of kind of the ideologies that created the culture of death in the 20th century, there's too many connections to ignore. But Joseph Goebbels, or Goebbels, however people say it, the Nazi propagandist for Hitler, was famous for saying, if you tell a lie big enough and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to believe it. But he said the lie can only be maintained for such a time as the state can shield the people from the political consequences of the lie. It thus becomes vitally important for the state to use all of its powers to repress dissent, for the truth is the mortal enemy of the lie, and therefore, by extension, the truth is the greatest enemy of the state, end quote. And you think, wow, thanks Joseph Goebbels, for being so honest with how political and language warfare happens, and we're seeing the same thing today. You have to repeat the lie. And if you don't, and if not enough people repeat it, we have to shield the people from the consequences of our own lies, lest they awaken. And it's just, you just think, wow, like, am I living in La La Land? Like, where's Alice and the Cheshire Cat? Or is this just the real world? Did you see any people awaken? Like, in your speaking and writing and advocacy, Riley, definitely. Have any libs, like, gone, oh, bleep?
Definitely. Even just this past week, I had this guy. He was incredibly gay. He came up to me. He said to me, I had every intention. He said, I hated you when I came here. Huh. I had every intention of continuing my hatred for you. He said, I came here because I wanted to confirm that. But he said, after listening to you, he said, there's no hate in your heart. He says, I think you really just want fair sports. I'm like, boom. That's exactly what I'm saying. He said, and so I agree with you. You've changed my mind on this entirely. And I'll tell you, that happens all the time. And that's what gives me hope, really, because we see the way the media responds. We see the way corporate America is going. We see the way academia is going. We see the way our elected officials are voting. But that is not representative. It's really not. It's not representative of the overwhelming amount of the general public. It's just not. Day by day, I think people are becoming more bold. I think people are understanding the harm, the severity, really, of embracing this lie, the gender ideology movement as a whole, not even just limited to this issue. We're right. seeing the effects of yep. the border, obviously. I mean, the list goes on. We're seeing the effects of COVID even still. People are waking up. I really, really, truly believe that. I think, of course, right? Truth and sanity, they always prevail. It's just a matter of when, how long do we have to endure this? Yep. So I do feel hope. I really do. And again, we know the outcome, which is why I'm able to do this with a smile on my face and an incredibly light heart. It keeps me grounded. So for sure.
Good for you. You are certainly a shining light in the Gen Z generation. And I always have to apologize on behalf of my generation. Millennials, but I think there is a stirring happening, and people are waking up, and I hope it happens soon. Riley, lastly, what do you think is if this lawsuit goes the wrong way, and you and your teammates lose? I don't think that'll happen, but this insanity continues. What's kind of your rallying cry to parents? To the church, to believers? What's your encouragement? Like, if you could have gone back to those college years, what do you wish people would have done?
Well, my message to parents, you hit the nail on the head, what you said earlier, in terms of, look, there's a lot of fingers to point. There's a lot of fingers to point and people to blame, ultimately, for how we got here. But parents, oh my gosh, the lack of parents who are willing to defend their kids, defend their daughters, is mind blowing to me. I'll tell you, my dad right? My dad is he was an NFL football player for many years. He's a big guy. He, SEC Hall of Famer, right? Like, he's a big guy. I had to refrain my dad. Truly, I really did. And I think that's why I'm such an independent thinker, such an outspoken leader. I've always been a leader, admittedly. And so, but I think that's why, it's because I have a strong family. I have two parents who love each other very much. And I really had to tell my dad, like, you will be in jail. And that's exactly where he would be sitting right now if he handled this like he wanted to handle it. And I told him, look, Dad, I got it. But we have seen a failure on the behalf of parents. So defend your daughters. That being said, teach your sons how to be strong men, parents. We need strong men. We need men who are willing to fulfill their biblical role of protecting and providing. Understand there, it's a cycle, right? Hard times create strong men. Strong men create good times. Good times create weak men. Weak men create hard times. It's undeniable right now. We are in the part of the process where weak men have created hard times. Expedite this process and teach your sons how to be strong men. So that's my message to parents. And of course, my message to everyone is to just be willing to say the emperor wears no clothes. It's not hard. It's not hard. It's the easiest thing in the world to say what I've been saying.
So to say that the emperor wears no clothes and he's naked, when you're on that platform about to dive into the pool, I want to ask you one last question, then when you talk about your book. And you've probably gotten this before, and it's not a critique on you, but I do want to hear your thoughts. If you could go back, Riley, would you have advised and secretly coordinated with every woman to simply not get in the pool?
Absolutely. Admittedly, at the time, I didn't think it was, I didn't understand the scale of this. I didn't understand really how this would take off. Totally. But I'll tell you, I didn't think it was fair for me to have to not compete. This was my last meet of my entire career. I'd done all the Olympics. I mean, I'd done all the stuff. This was it. This was the final. And so I thought to myself, that's not fair for me to have to not compete. But looking back, oh my gosh, I'm ashamed of myself for participating in the farce. And I remember distinctly when I changed my mind. I thought legislation, policy, that's how you change this. But it was when it was introduced in the U.S. House, the Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act, and it fell entirely on party lines, meaning 219 Republicans voted in favor of this, and 203 Democrats voted in opposition. And that's when I was like, oh my gosh, if we wait for people to do the right thing unprovoked, we would be waiting for forever. This is up to us. Enough is enough. Roll up your sleeves. Say no. And so now I've even gone as far to say any woman, and I understand there are consequences, and I know it's easier said than done, because again, I didn't do that.
Yep.
I know it's easier said than done, but I'm even going as far now to say, is any woman who doesn't compete against a man, who concedes a match or concedes a race or a tournament or whatever it is, I am out of my own pocket willing to pay them the prize money that they lose out on. I already have. There's been a pool player over in Ireland, actually, who conceded against a man in the European final championship of eight ball, which I know nothing about eight ball. But I know men don't belong in the women's tournament. And so she conceded, and I sent her over the money that paid for her prize money she lost out on, because that's what we need to do. We need to incentivize, just like the left does. We need to incentivize not pandering to the insanity.
I'm so glad you said that. Don't play their game. We need to encourage these women to not enter the field, not step onto the court, don't enter the ring, don't jump into the pool, don't step on the track. Allow that autogynephilic chauvinist to compete by himself and become the laughingstock of the entire stadium. If we can get entire teams of females to begin doing that, I think that's going to be a powerful way to win this battle.
Definitely.
And what are we ultimately saying? Don't say the lie.
Come
on. Don't say it. Don't participate in it. Don't repeat it, because people are starting to believe the lie, because too many people are saying it and believing it. Riley, where can people learn more about you, get your book, or talk about your book and Brave Books?
Yes. Super exciting. Brave Books is awesome. Of course, they are a subscription service. I guess comparative to Scholastic, which,
right,
as every
yep,
Right. It's gone just entirely woke. They're the ones putting these terrible books, these pornographic books in your child's school. So Brave Books is a wonderful alternative. I just partnered with them and wrote a children's book called Happy No Snakes Day, which is about speaking up, standing for the truth, regardless of the consequences. I actually just wrote an adult book, like a normal human chapter book called Swimming Against the Current. So that's on Amazon and all the places, which was perfect really fun.
Perfect title.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, yeah, you can find me on X, which is Riley_Gaines_. If you're wondering why there's two underscores, it's because pre Elon Musk, my account got deleted for saying men and women are different. So, yeah, but I appreciate you for having me on and for always being bold and always being unapologetic and always willing to say what so many people are thinking, but don't have the courage to say. But you know more than anyone that courage begets courage. So I could not be more grateful and inspired really by you. So thank you.
Thank you, Riley. That's right. Courage is, to quote C.S. Lewis, every virtue at its testing point. For if you don't have courage, then none of the other virtues you have matter if you won't integrate them and live according to them. That's a good word to go out on, Riley. Thank you. Keep swimming against the current. Keep being bold. You know how many people are behind you. But guys, share this episode, okay? Send this to your liberal, middle-of-the-road friend who's tolerating all this stuff and is okay with it and thinks that we're transphobes for speaking out against it. Change some minds, change some hearts. Get Riley's book, support her, share what she's doing, and Riley, we'll see you out there.
Of course. Thank you, guys.
Thank you guys for tuning into the show today. Head on over to YouTube, Spotify, iTunes, and Rumble, please. If I'm ever digitally assassinated by the YouTube monarchs, which will probably happen, we're building Rumble. Go subscribe there. Leave us 5 stars. Leave a review. Everyone says it, but it actually drives the show up the charts and more people see it. We want people to listen to this episode. If you want to join the White Rose Resistance, the fastest growing pro-life organization in America, and take back the spiritual ground that has been lost, that has ruined our culture in the first place because of the silence and apathy of Christians in America, go to thewhiterose.life, www.thewhiterose.life. If you join as an ally at $35 a month, you get a resistance box and you get equipped and you join our digital community to be equipped for this fight. If you join at $70 a month, we read a book together once a week and talk about it live on Zoom so you can understand how this crazy culture was created and be a voice and advocate against it. Go to thewhiterose.life. Help us take back life in America before it's too late. Until next week, I'm Seth Gruber, and this is The Seth Gruber Show.